So we're very fortunate today to be at the Lotus Feet of our illustrious Guru Dev and Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj, the living representative of the Rupa Nuga Sampradaya. As we know, at the time of his departure from this material world, Bhagavan Sri Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, he transferred the responsibility and the conception of the Rupa Nuga Sampradaya to his divine grace, Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, our Param Guru Maharaj. And in his own words, and in his own writing, and in every way that he could possibly express it, he fully expressed that he transferred everything, right, in every way, shape, and form, everything he had, to our illustrious Acharya Dev Om Vishnupada Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj. So we have to understand who's carrying the banner of the Rupa Nuga Sampradaya now. And we're very fortunate to have shelter at his lotus feet. And before this morning, I did not know that on this day, our illustrious Guru Dev received second initiation. Some wonderful new information for me. Hear that. And what type of initiation was that? And for the benefit of all of us, Srila Sridhar Maharaj explained very beautifully, and Sripad Goswami Maharaj captured that explanation very beautifully, and very beautifully presented it in the wonderful book Sri Guru and His Grace. And if we read the last chapter of that book, then we'll get some understanding of what it means to be in the Rupa Nuga Sampradaya. It's not some paltry thing, it's not some small thing to really be in the Rupa Nuga Sampradaya. And as unqualified as we may be, right, by the grace and blessings of the Vaishnavas of that school, right, we are connected with that. We're not connected with anything else. And we don't want to be connected with anything else. And everything that you can possibly get spiritually is available only in the Rupa Nuga Sampradaya. And I'm not fit. I have no entrance. I have no adhikar for anything, practically. But especially not to speak of the higher details of the Rupa Nuga Sampradaya. We can't dwell on things that are beyond our capacity. But at least we should try to understand what type of gift our Gurudev is trying to give us. And if we read that last chapter of Sri Guru and His Grace, then that will become very clear to us. And without remembrance of our Gurudev, and what is our connection with Srila Rupa Goswami, and how will we have a connection with the Rupa Nuga Sampradaya if not through our Gurudev? We're going to enforce or impose ourselves, force ourselves, forcible entry, we'll join the Rupa Nuga Sampradaya. It's impossible. But by the grace and blessing of the Vaishnavas, we're allowed to have a connection with that. And Srila Rupa Goswami, he was chosen by Mahaprabhu to set the standard of Krishna Bhakti for all of Mahaprabhu's followers. And some of that is expressed, much of that is expressed in that beautiful song composed by Srinivasa Acharya that we just sang, Sadgosham Astakam, and in many, many places, in many ways. And if we just simply hear, just like Srila Gurudev was saying yesterday, or the day before, I think it was yesterday, that hearing is more important than reading. So many things we know by hearing that we will never know by reading. And I used to read the books, and it never dawned on me, because I don't know Sanskrit, and I don't know anything about Krishna Bhakti, about nothing about the beauty of the poetry of Srila Rupa Goswami ever struck me. But after hearing from the lotus mouth of Srila Gurudev, like the unique beauty of the poetry of Srila Rupa Goswami, hearing from his lotus mouth those descriptions, then I have some appreciation. Before hearing that from his lotus mouth, the poetic compositions of Srila Rupa Goswami appeared long. That was their speciality to me. Very long composition, a big shloka, and that was my appreciation. So Gurudev explained the unique beauty of the poetic compositions of Srila Rupa Goswami, a unique presentation. And after hearing that, then when we're exposed to some of those things, then we can appreciate them in a different light, not based on our own capacity, not based on our own ability. And our appreciation for Krishna consciousness doesn't develop like that. Because our appreciation for Krishna consciousness is our Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is nothing to us if we don't appreciate it. But Krishna consciousness is something to us to the degree that we appreciate it. Tattraloyam api mulam ekalam, Srila Rupa Goswami's own words. Right, our eagerness, our appreciation, right, our inability to live without Krishna consciousness. Then when we have that, then we have Krishna consciousness. So until that point, until that time, when that eagerness, that intensity, right, that appreciation has reached such a level that we can't live without it, at least we'll have some appreciation. And the progress of Krishna consciousness is a progress of that appreciation. And the Do Shraddha, Srila Rupa Goswami again himself expressed, that's the progression of Krishna consciousness. A Do Shraddha. So what is that, a Do Shraddha? Not a very deep faith, but some appreciation. Some appreciation. Like that's how we were all captured. Except for Anaforma and Dunya. They were exposed by birth. But the rest of us were captured by some exposure to the thing. And then after some exposure to it, then the same thing happened to them. I cannot exempt from that point that some appreciation for the beauty of the thing has to come. And that's called a do shraddha. Like that beginning faith, at the starting point, is to at least think it's a nice thing. Then we have to protect that. Right? Our practicing life, the rules, Srila Gurudev was explaining this morning, a very, very important point for all of us. Our approach to Krishna consciousness is not like government legislation, not like the rules of the government. And he said, right, that although his Guru Maharaj was extremely strict, he's actually equally as strict. But we have to voluntarily give ourselves to that. He doesn't impose it on us. So, and that's based on love, right? He said, I never felt restricted by Guru Maharaj. He was explaining that this morning. It's a very, very important point on us to dwell on, right? That he never saw his Guru Maharaj as strict. And he saw his Guru Maharaj as a loving protector of his devotion. And anything that was not connected with his Guru Maharaj's service, he wasn't interested in that. And he said that was the ruling. But it's not really a ruling. How could that be a ruling? Now, that's a bond of affection. And we're very fortunate that we have that as an example. It's the example that our Guru Maharaj showed as a disciple. Param Guru Maharaj, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, we have their examples as a guru, but we don't have so much their examples as a disciple. They told some few things, but our Guru Maharaj, we have his direct example as a disciple. What was his mood as a disciple? How is he so enriched with everything? Of course, because he's naturally very beautiful. And his Guru Maharaj naturally saw that beauty in him and wanted to enrich him with everything. But also his mood of acceptance. I always get to that point. The mood of acceptance. And from the higher side, the mood is always the same. But from our side, the mood is different. So we have to work on our side. Like Param Guru Maharaj said, religion means proper adjustment. And who will be adjusted? Will Gurudev be adjusted? And will the program of Krishna consciousness be adjusted? Or will we be adjusted? And when we have Srila Rupa Goswami as our acharya, we see his behavior, not just his teachings, his beautiful presentations, his poetry, so many things, but also his own behavior. And when he met Mahaprabhu, what was his mood? And did that mood change? Now we know Gurudev was explaining this morning when in Ram Keli Mahaprabhu met Shalupa and Sanatana Goswami. Of course I didn't know until this morning that it was at midnight. New information came this morning. That meeting happened at midnight. But how did they approach Mahaprabhu? Right from a distance, far away, with straw in their teeth, right? They fell on the ground. They were very big men. The Prime Minister and the Finance Minister and the government of Noah Kushan Shah, the King. They were very, very big men. And in that song we just sang, it says, Chakva Tuna Mathesha Mandalapati. And Mandalapati means they were like lords of the world. That was their position. And from a distance, right, with straw in their teeth, and they laid flat. And very meekly, humbly, they approach Mahaprabhu from a distance. And when we see the history, if we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we do, we see that that behavior never changed at any time. When Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, whenever they met Mahaprabhu, they met him in Prayag, they met him in Puri. Their behavior was always the same. When they went to Puri, they stayed with Haridas Thakur. And what was Haridas Thakur's mood? Haridas Thakur never took prasad with Mahaprabhu and the other devotees in Puri. You can imagine. And Haridas Thakur is one of the most important devotees of Mahaprabhu. And how many hundreds of descriptions of festivals of prasad, or in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we can understand they were happening almost every day for some festival of prasad. Then there were very, very special festivals and grand festivals where Mahaprabhu was distributing the prasad with his own hand. Not a few times, you know, thousands of times. And Haridas Thakur never entered there. Once. Not once. And when Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, when they went to Puri to see Mahaprabhu, they stayed with Haridas Thakur. Means they never went there. They never sat with the other devotees to take prasad. And he's our Sampradaya Charja. And he never sat with the other devotees to take prasad. They never went to the Jagannath temple. Should we be disappointed? Should we think there's some slight upon us? Srila Rupa Goswami, he never went in the Jagannath temple. Haridas Thakur never went in the Jagannath temple. So what, should we be uptight that we can't go in the Jagannath temple? They could have went, but they didn't want to go. They didn't feel they were fit to go. So we can't artificially imitate that. At least we have to remember it. We can't artificially, we can try. There's no, you know, unfortunately actually, there's no law against artificial imitation. So we can try to artificially imitate so many things. but it won't be very valuable to us. But to remember the mood of Srila Rupa Goswami, that is what is important to us. And of course his teachings are very important to us, and they're coming to us. Everything, the mood and the teachings, are coming to us through our Gurudev. The finest point, the essence, the cream, the gist of what they're giving, our Gurudev is giving that to us. So if we read the books, and I know people, I even know a person, a friend of mine, translated all the books of Srila Rupa Goswami. But in there he couldn't figure out, even after translating all the books, that he should take shelter of Vaishnava. So if we just read books without the guidance of a Vaishnava, we'll be confused. We won't be able to take out the essence. Just like, you know, a disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in this very, you know, hackneyed expression, everything is in Srila Prabhupada's books. I don't doubt that. But who has the capacity to extract it? Everything is there. I don't doubt it. But who has the capacity to extract it? Everything is in every book of the real Vaishnava. So the real Vaishnava produces a book like ours. Gurudev said about his Guru Maharaj, everything is in the title of the book, even. Not even reading the book, just in the title of the book. If you meditate on the title, you'll understand everything. But you only get that through the help of a Vaishnava. Reading on your own, you'll be confused. Doesn't mean we should never read the book. When Gurudev said yesterday that, you know, hearing is better than reading, that doesn't mean we should never read the book. Well, you know, should we have a book-burning celebration? Why is Gurudev so happy when a book is printed that we should never read it? Of course we should read the book. But we should understand that we'll only get the essence of what's there by a Vaishnava, by the blessing and the mercy of a Vaishnava. What they tell us, and then our reading of the book will have some value. Just like after hearing, and I was one of the people, I read all of Srila Prabhupada's books. You know, as Srila Gurudev said, I didn't have four arms after that, or anything like that. And how much did I miss in my reading? Then after hearing for some years from Param Guru Maharaj, and hearing from his associates and followers, then I read those books again. Then after that I saw millions of things that I had missed in my previous reading. That's because I wasn't equipped with those particular blessings. Then after being equipped with those blessings, after hearing from the lotus mouth of a Vaishnava the proper conception, then when I read the books I found something different. And if we read the books again, we'll find something different. And if we hear from Srila Gurudev some more and we read the books, we'll find something different. But if we just take the book and go on our own and read the book, well, we won't find anything. Especially us. We won't find anything. A new person can find something. But for us, who are already exposed to the blessings of Gurudev, if we think we can go off on our own without those blessings, with some book, we won't get anything. Academia, you know, maybe we can take some test somewhere, we'll get some degree, or something we can do business with in the mundane plane. But in terms of spirituality, we won't get anything. So Atapi De Deva Padam Bujadvaya Prasadale Shanu Grihite Vahi Janati Tatvam Bhagavang Mahino. This was the conclusion of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. This is the conclusion first of Gopinath Bhattacharya. When he had his argument with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya examined Mahaprabhu, imagine, he was a Mayavadi, but he knew all the symptoms of Krishna prayer. He knew all the genuine symptoms of Krishna prayer. Right? And he examined Mahaprabhu after Mahaprabhu fainted before Lord Jagannath. In Mahaprabhu, he saw all the symptoms of Krishna prayer. Mahabhava. He knew the differentiation. Right? He knew what sahajya was. He knew what imitation was. He knew what Mahabhava was. Very educated Mayavadi. Right? And then Mahaprabhu, he saw those symptoms. But Gopinath Chari said, "You are a fool. Now you examined him, you think you know so much, you read so much, you understand so much, and you personally examine Mahaprabhu and you don't know who he is. You're a fool." And then Sarvam was like, "Check you out, man. You talking to me?" You may say that to other people, but you know, you're talking to me now. I'm not saying, I'm just going to take what you say. How do you know and I don't know? You know something I don't know? How is that? And then Gopinath Acharya said, "Tapi deva padam ujjaya prasada rejshana krihite evahi." There's a little drop of mercy I know. And you didn't get that drop yet. Then after Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya got that drop of mercy, and he knew, then he said that as his evidence. "Tapi deva padam ujjaya prasada rejshana krihite evahi." So if we don't get that, we won't know either. And whatever we do know is based on that little drop of mercy. And if we remember that, then our progress in the Rupa Nuba Sampradaya will be rapid and wonderful. But it's many different things we have to deal with on the way, because we're finite. And so many different stages, and those stages are explained by Srila Rupa Goswami and by the acharyas in our line who are explaining for us the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. And all of that is coming through our Gurudev. I don't have the capacity for any of that. You know, I'm a Westerner. Malecha. Even this morning I was thinking when Srila Gurudev was explaining that Sanatana Goswami told Mahaprabhu, "Yeah, the king right now, he likes you. But he's a Malecha. You can't trust him." I'm a Malecha. You know, full-fledged, card-carrying Malecha. So how am I going to analyze spirituality? You know, what's my capacity? You know, and I'm going to get the gist of that. Then, you know, what was explained from that, and it came down through Narottam, et cetera, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you know, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Saraswati. I'm not going to get anything. I don't have any capacity to get anything from that. But the merciful Vaishnavas who have that capacity, right, they're like the devas. Right? They're always churning that ocean of ecstasy, and they're extracting like the essence of that. What is the gist, the finest points, right? Srila Sri Ramaj, he was famous for that. He was always able to get the finest point of everything. And after the lectures of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, people who were a little confused couldn't actually get what was being said, and we can imagine it was a lot of people. Right, they would go to Srila Sri Ramaj and they would ask him, "What was Guru Maharaj really explaining today?" And he would tell them the finest point of Saraswati Thakur. And in his words he said, "Govinda Maharaj is more than me." So he has that capacity for the finest point. Right, the finest point of his Guru Maharaj, right, who had the finest point of Saraswati Thakur. Saraswati Thakur, you can imagine what kind of finest points he has. So that finest points, they're all coming to us, right, by the grace of Gurudev. If we get enriched with that, right, then the books have some value for us. Everything has some value for us. Tong chet kripang mai vidasa sinaiva king me. Pranaya Brajena Nachuru Bakari Napi. And without that, even Das Goswami took it to the extreme by saying, you know, Krishna, Vrindavan, none of these things have any value for me. And if Sri Radha will not be merciful to me, Sanchet Kripang Mayigidashasi Naima Kingme Pranaya Vajina Naturu Pukarinapi. And even Krishna, even Vrindavan, none of these things have value to me. Asha Bharaya Mritsundu Mayikatanchit. But this is my great hope. So we have that great hope, and Gurudev is not stingy with his mercy. He's very generous, and it doesn't matter. He's not discriminating, because in this particular line, all discrimination has been removed. There's no fear of the malechas. Even Sanatana Goswami told Mahaprabhu, be careful, because he's a malecha. But today he likes you. But tomorrow he can change his mind. And but our gurus also, they have no fear of the malechas. They're giving everything to us. And they criticize each other for it. You know, Param Guru Maharaj, he criticized our Gurudev. Wow, why are you so attached with these people? And our Gurudev criticized his guru. Why are you telling this to them? Right, when Srila Sridhar Maharaj is explaining some finer points of Gayatri Mantra, etc., then our Gurudev went to him and said, why are you telling this to them? And then on another occasion, our Param Guru Maharaj said to our Gurudev, why do you have so much attachment for these people? So they even criticize each other for it, their attachment for people like us, for their kindness to people like us. No fear of the malechas. So that's all the blessings of Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Six Goswamis, and everybody else, Haridas Thakur. And Gurudev was explaining this morning how Srila Rupa Goswami was examined right in front of all of those people. But not only him. And Mahaprabhu simultaneously examined everybody else, which is a very good test for us. Because Mahaprabhu came, like he did every day, to see Haridas Thakur, and he saw that one sloka. Many times this happened. I don't know how, I can't remember exactly how long Srila Rupa Goswami stayed in Puri during that visit, but many ways Mahaprabhu came and discovered some of his writing. So he saw that shloka, Tunde, Tanavadiya, Tundava, love day. I want millions of tongues. I only one tongue to chant the name of Krishna. I want millions of tongues. Only one ear, two ears to hear the name of Krishna. I need millions of ears. And Mahaprabhu read that shloka and he was astonished. And he asked Haridas Thakur, right, the Namacharya, as the person who's the most equipped in knowing the glories of the name. And Haridas Thakur, I never saw anywhere, any place, that type of description of the name of Krishna. Then Mahaprabhu assembled all his group, like the main people of his group, and showed them that shloka. And also to test them, then Mahaprabhu himself, he began to glorify Srila Rupa Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is expressed that when Mahaprabhu began to glorify Srila Rupa Goswami, he became overwhelmed and it was like, you know, like with 100 mouths, he began to glorify Srila Rupa Goswami. And then he would just test his other devotees. How did they feel to hear that type of glorification of Srila Rupa Goswami? And naturally, because they were all Mahaprabhu's Parsha, they felt very wonderful. And then Srila Ramananda Roy, the ultimate knower of Krishna Rasa, he began to examine Srila Goswami. And I have no capacity, even when I read it, you know, the discussion is way, way, not just even the subject matter, even externally, you know, when he asked him, what is how your introductory shloka for this? Your introductory shloka for that, so many of those things. I have no idea about that type of anything, education, however you want to look at it. But each answer in Srila Rupa Goswami, everybody is more and more astonished to hear his presentation. And his sampradaya has been opened to us. We are being led in to the Rupanuga Sampradaya by our Gurudev, and we're accepted there. Sometimes some criticism is going back and forth on our behalf. Why are you giving so much to those people? Why are you so attached to those people? But by the mercy of our Gurudev, it's happening. And that mercy is also contained the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami. And even that we know his name, we're unlimitedly fortunate that we know the name of Srila Rupa Goswami. And the transaction of Vaishnavism at the end of every chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Jarasha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. What is the mood of Vaishnavism? End of every chapter. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Jarasha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. So if we are loyal and chaste to our Gurudev, then all of those blessings will come to us. It's only qualifications that we need to have. All of those things. We could have discussed that song even for a long time. Sadgosaya Masakam. The Srinivasa Charya expressed so many wonderful things. Dira, dira, jana, priyo, priyata. They were attractive to everybody, the Goswamis. They were attracted to the educated, attractive to the educated people. They were attractive to the low-class people. Dira, dira, jana, priyo, priyakaro, nirmatsaro, pujito, because they were not envious. And then other lines say, Sankhya Purvakana Magana Tibi Kala Vasani Pito Nidrahara Vihara Kaji Vijito Chatyanto Dino Chajo. That they conquered everything. Nidrahara Vihara Kaji Vijito. And every bodily demand was conquered by them. Chatyanto Dino Chajo. But they were extremely humble. They had so much power, but they were extremely humble and merciful. Bhutva dina ganeshako karunaya kopina kantasrito. Everything, all that worldly opulence, mandalapati, kings of the world, chattva dunamasesha, mandalapati, training sada tuchava, like ashes in the ashtray. That's how they saw material opulence. They threw it out. Bhutva dina ganesha karunaya. Because they were so kind to the poor people. So merciful. Kopina kantasrita. Some coping, some torn cloth. They took that and tasted ecstasy. Every one of those verses expresses how they were tasting ecstasy always. Gopi Bhava Rasala Pitav Dilahadi. We come from, some of us, Santa Cruz, California. In Santa Cruz, California is the first place where anybody ever surfed in the United States of America. Some Hawaiian princes came there. So the Goswamis, they were surfing on the waves of Gopi Bhav. Gopi Bhava Rasavita Dilahari. Dilahari means wave. So they were surfing in the waves of Gopi Bhav. And for that, they gave up everything else, like ashes in an ashtray, a kingly position, so many things they had in the world. They threw it out. So bhakti pareshano bhavo virakti sanyatrascha. We heard from Param Guru Maharaj, and we're hearing from Gurudev all the time, that renunciation is an enemy of devotion. But the vairagya vidya nidhi bhakti yoga, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj says, sapka vairagya murtaye. But that vairagya is not that type of renunciation. It's bhakti pareshanu bhavo virakti sanyastrascha. So much devotion, so much absorption in the plane of devotion that there is no connection left with the plane of exploitation. Nothing. Nidrahara vihara kadi vichitu chakyaktu deen chati Radha Krishna guna shmati madurima nandeng sammohito, totally bewildered, intoxicated. Ecstasy. What is Krishna consciousness about? And what is the result of this thing? Yayatma or Yayatma supersedati. That's a nectarized every atom of your existence. But the Goswamis, yeah, they conquered all of those things. Nidra, Hari, Vihara, Kadi, Vijito. They weren't living some dry life. They weren't uptight. They were floating in an ocean of ecstasy, sometimes surfing the waves of that ecstasy, sometimes drowning in that ecstasy. And that's what's waiting for us in Krishna consciousness. Not some dry life. You know, sit around and be serious, sober. You know, like our Christian conception of God. You know, very frightening. When I was a boy, there was a mural of God on the ceiling of my church. It was scary. And only two things they told me, right? Omnipotent and omniscient. You know, all-knowing and all-powerful. It was a scary person. But they didn't say he was infinitely kind, infinitely sweet, infinitely beautiful, infinitely generous, infinitely forgiving. Infinitely sympathetic. They didn't tell you those things about God. Just infinitely powerful and infinitely knowing. That's scary. So advancement in Krishna consciousness means to float and then ultimately drown in an ocean of ecstasy. Actually, in Lochan Das Thakur, in that song about Nityananda Prabhu, he said that Dina Hina Bhashe. Duryo Bhakta Gana Dina Hina Bhashe. Like I said, the devotees, they were drowning in that ocean of ecstasy that was being brought everywhere by Nityananda Prabhu. And those non devotees, they were floating. Duryo Bhakta Gana Dina Hina Bhashe. The fallen people, the non-devotees, they were floating on that ocean. And the devotees, they were drowning in that ocean of ecstasy. So the Goswami's every verse says that. Gayantu chakadahare gunavaram bhava vibhutam muda. Muda means intoxicated in ecstasy. They're chanting. They're intoxicated. Everything they did, they were intoxicated with ecstasy. Hey Ra, hey, Brijadevi ke, Chalavide, hey Nanda Shunna Kuta. And the proper mood, searching. Search for Sri Krishna, reality is beautiful. That's the search. Hey Ra, hey, Brijadevi ke, Chalavide, hey Nanda Shunna Kuta. Where are you? The search for Sri Krishna, reality is beautiful. The Goswamis were engaged in that search. Where are you? Not any pretending, oh, we're with Krishna. No, where are you? That mad search for Sri Krishna, reality is beautiful. You could add that word, because I'm not going to do that. The mad search for Sri Krishna, reality is beautiful. That's the more advanced stage. In our stage, search for Sri Krishna, reality is beautiful.
later stage. But the man, Kheerati, Vajadevati, Chalaviti, Kheenandashanam, where are you? Goshanta, Vijisabhatu, Vrajabhuri, Kheedai, Mahabhivalo means totally mad, in ecstasy, running around Vrindavan, at that moment. So sometimes we see the pictures, Six Goswamis, they look very sober, but it wasn't like that. They're lost in ecstasy, and not any material connection. Practically no eating, no sleeping, no mundane external bodily activities. They didn't have any time for that. They weren't trying to renounce it. It's nothing to say, oh, I didn't eat for 3 days. They were tasting so much ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, they couldn't think about bodily things. So that's advancement in Krishna consciousness. Advancement in ecstasy. Our hearts are crying out for that. Then we come in contact with spirituality. And either we want to taste it cheaply, or we think it's a dry thing. But we're victimized by those conceptions. Either we want to taste that ecstasy very cheaply, and after a couple of years, like when I first joined, I sincerely thought, after a few years, I'd be like a cowherd boy. And I found out it takes a little longer than that. No problem. Or we think it's a dry thing. We want it very quickly and cheaply. Or we either that or it must be some better approach it or originally terribly. It's not like that. Our Gurudev is not like that. And he's living everything for us. Like today he said how he looked in the Panjika. And he, in his Vaishnava humility, presented it in a negative side. Oh, I used to know 15 days in advance. Don't believe that. Yeah, definitely he used to know 15 days in advance. Believe that. But don't believe that his negative presentation. But the other side is that he looked in the Panjika, right, to see the sunrise so he could take something. Right? And it's every way he's liberated from that. Like first of all, by his position in Vaishnavism, he's liberated from that. Like by his age, like according to the Vedic calculation, according to his age, he doesn't have to follow that. Like by his age, he doesn't have to follow a codicil. By age, he's liberated from that. By health condition, he's liberated from that. From his condition as his own Gurudev said, a natural Paramahamsa. He's liberated from that. In every way, he's liberated from that. From any angle of vision you want to calculate, he's liberated from that. But what is he showing us? Like he looked in the book to see the sunrise so he could take a little something for his health. But not in a dry way. Krishna consciousness for him is not a dry thing. And he explained that more important for him to feel that affectionate connection. He never felt any restriction. And we shouldn't feel any restriction. Does that mean we should do anything and everything, whatever we want, whatever we feel like? No. But what is that? You know, what is necessary for Gurudev? We should try to accept that with that type of move. So obviously, he's a very special person. From his earliest days, he was able to do that. From his first days. Otherwise, how did he capture the heart of his Guru Maharaj so quickly? That after a few days, his Guru Maharaj said, this boy, he must have come. And he told this morning, right, people punish me. Guru Maharaj, the ruling was that at least 6 months you have to wait. Get second initiation. After first initiation, Gurudev said this morning, very clearly, at least 6 months you must wait. So the Guru Maharaj gave me early. People punished me for that. Guru Maharaj said after 1 week, this boy will be my successor. People punished me for that. Physically punished him. And he was thrown down the stairs. So you see Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that other half of his place that he rented to Srila Sridhar Maharaj for a little Calcutta center. Our Gurudev was literally thrown out of the building. Physically thrown down the stairs and thrown out physically because people were angry. Because after 1 week, his Guru Maharaj said, this boy will be my successor. They all have hopes and schemes and plans and dreams for their future in the Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mahal. But our Gurudev only joined with his beautiful self. And a week later, his Guru Maharaj said, this boy will be my successor. Physically ousted and all beat up and disheveled. He returned to Navadi. What happened? Explain what happened. Okay. Stay here with me. It's not necessary to go back there. So he was punished for that. Punished for the love of his Guru Maharaj. Happily he accepted that. Punished. And happily, that love grew. That's very exemplary for us. What will grow? You know, our austerity, our power. You know, what's going to grow in Krishna consciousness? Our renunciation, our detachment. What things do we expect will grow in us through Krishna consciousness? But within, not without. And when we see Gurudev, we never saw some, what are you going to call it? I don't know what to call it. You know, some crying, sentimentalist or something. Gurudev doesn't show the external things. But what do we want to grow within us? What should grow within us as a result of Krishna consciousness? So on this wonderful day of the disappearance, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Gauridas Pandit, and Srila Gurudev expressed that so beautifully this morning as well. As he expresses everything, we hear from him. Like that's why he said it. Like hearing is more important. If we just hear from him, we don't have to read so many things and research. And just hear from him, we'll get the sweetest and best. The ultimate conception, the final conclusion of everything. So Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakav Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Sri Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Rupa Nuga Guru Bhargava Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Srila Rupa Goswami Chirupa Mahamahutsav Titi Ki Jai. Srila Gauridas Pandit Mahamahutsav Chirupa Titi Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Prema.